celebrate Independence Day tomorrow. We want to thank you and praise you for this great country in which we live. And Lord, that you have kept us down through all these years. And we just pray that we might continue to remain free, that you would have mercy upon us and continue to lead us. Forgive us, our Father, for our sins. And cleanse us, I pray, from all unrighteousness, and help us to walk in fellowship with you. We just pray, dear Lord, that your holy will be done today. Thank you for each one who is here with us. We ask your blessings upon us, that we might all be encouraged and strengthened as we face life in these days. We do pray for those that cannot be with us, especially we pray for Steve Gruen and his wife Dawn, as they are both ill at home. We ask you to undertake for them and restore them to health, along with anyone else who may be sick today. We just pray that your will would be done, and that you would guide and help and direct us as we seek to serve you. Thank you so much for all the wonderful blessings that we have. Truly is so true, our Father. God is so good. And we just thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your grace, and for every blessing that we enjoy. Help us, our Father, to walk in fellowship with you and do your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We want to read at this time from Romans chapter 13. It fits right in. We're going through Romans in our regular services. And on this holiday, this is a subject that fits right in with what we're talking about. So Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now that word damnation means judgment. Doesn't mean they're going to hell. It means that they're going to be condemned for that. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore, you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, how we thank you and praise you for your word, and we pray that you'll help us to put it into practice in our life day by day. May we love one another in the way that you want us to, and seek to help each other to take away the hatred and animosity that's all around us, and to keep on serving you in the way that we should. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful freedom that we have in Christ, and for all the blessings that you give us. And we thank you that we live in a land where we can proclaim your word without fear. And we pray that you'll help us, our Father, to be faithful, to be true, to be honest, and to honor you in all that we do and say. Bless your word as it goes forth today from this pulpit and from others all over this country and around the world. We just thank you that for everyone who is proclaiming the word of God, may it truly be the means of salvation for many precious souls. And may each one of us walk in fellowship with you and with one another. May we love each other and serve you together. May Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, be glorified, we pray. In his name, amen. Oh, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Isn't that what a wonderful privilege it is? Huh? Think of that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All right. Tomorrow, as you know, the 4th of July, we celebrate Independence Day here as Americans. We enjoy the freedom and the liberty that has been given to us. It's good that we have the opportunity to be reminded once again the price of liberty and to honor those who provided it for us. Now, Webster defines liberty as the state of being free within society from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority on one's way of life, behavior, or political views. We live in liberty because our forefathers fought to maintain it for us. It's up to us to be vigilant and not allow our liberty to be taken away. As wonderful as our national liberty is, the Bible speaks to us also of the liberty we have in Christ. I recently read a devotion. In fact, this is for Monday, July 4th, which is tomorrow, right? And if you would like to read it, it's on the back table, okay? This is Days of Praise, and I wanted to share this with you. I thought this was good. The title of it is Glorious Liberty. Romans 8:21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. This verse contains the first of 11 occurrences of the Greek word eleutheria, liberty, and defines the basic spiritual message of this splendid word. Because of sin, God has subjected the whole creation, animate and inanimate, to the bondage of corruption. That is, everything is governed by a law of decay, a law of such universal scope that it is recognized as a basic law of science, the law of entropy, stipulating that everything tends to disintegrate and die. Christ died for sin, however, and defeated death so that he will someday deliver the whole groaning creation from its bondage into the glorious freedom from decay and death that will also be enjoyed by all who have received eternal life through faith in Christ. This ultimate perfect liberty can even now be appropriated in type and principle through looking into the perfect law of liberty, the Holy Scriptures. This ultimate perfect liberty can even now, when we become children of God, the Holy Spirit henceforth indwells our bodies. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Sometimes, however, Christians may abuse this new freedom from the law of sin and death, turning it into license. And this becomes a tragic perversion of Christian liberty. For, brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. It's Galatians 5:13. While not abusing our freedom in Christ, we must nevertheless stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and look forward to the glorious liberty of the ages to come. I thought that was an excellent article about liberty, and especially the liberty we have in Christ. However, we as followers of Christ and as Christian citizens of the United States of America, we have certain obligations, responsibilities. And this is what we read earlier in Romans chapter 13, where Paul is expressing to us our responsibility. Now, Paul had said in Philippians 3, 20 and 21, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body." Our citizenship is in heaven. So does this mean that we have no obligation to our country or to our government? Obviously not. Because in other places, Paul makes it very clear that we do. As we see here in Romans chapter 13, what the Christian's duty is as a citizen. First of all, we find regarding the law of the land. So we have to be submissive to the civil authorities. That's a basic truth here in verse 1. "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." And you might, I'm sure, our minds are thinking, well, does God put all these monsters into power? You know, it makes you wonder, doesn't it? When you think about the world and all of some of those who have reigned and ruled over people. At this time, when Paul was writing this, the Roman emperors were in power, right? And yet he says every power is ordained of God for some reason. Look, Adam pointed out a while ago in Sunday school, God does whatever he pleases, whenever he pleases, right? And we accept what he says. So here, he's saying that we are to be, generally speaking, submissive to civil authorities. And three reasons are given. First of all, God established these rulers and put them in their places of power, as we see. It may not be easy to believe sometimes, but God is ultimately in control. He is sovereign, isn't he? And he has a plan that will eventually unfold, and we will see what happens. But many times, I guess we are confused when we look around and see the way things are going. But God is going to work it all out. He puts up one ruler, he takes down another, and he to resist the ruler, generally speaking, is to resist God. I mean, that's what it says. I have no other way of explaining that. We need to, generally speaking, be submissive to the government. The function of the government, as Steve often points out, is to provide order and justice, to reward those who do well, and to punish those who do evil. That's the basic purpose of government. This is a useful purpose. Notice in verse 3, he says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil." Do you want to not be afraid? Do that which is good, and you will have praise of the same. See? And verse 4, "For he," the ruler, "is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain." So Paul is admonishing us here in the Word of God to be obedient to the law and to follow the law of the land and to seek to be a good citizen. I mean, that's all what I get out of it. Even as believers, we are to be obedient to the government insofar as we can. Now, there are some exceptions, as we know, and we'll get to that in a little bit. And but the ruler is called the minister of God. How about that? And some of these rulers, I wonder about it. But anyhow, that's the way it is. And he is there to reward those who do well, to give them encouragement, and to punish those who do evil. That's the way it should. It should be. So anyway, the Bible teaches us that there are three institutions that God has established on earth. He has established the home, the church, and human government, that everything might proceed in the way that it should. Each one has its own sphere of activity. The church is a completely spiritual institution, while the government has the job of ministering order and controlling the affairs of the state. We are to be subject for conscience' sake, says in verse 5. We must be subject not only for wrath, to be punished, but also for conscience' sake, that we might be able to live an orderly life and not be ashamed, but to do it according to what God has directed us to do. We're to be subject for conscience' sake. Not only are we to obey the law, but we are to support the government. That's a touchy subject, I know. With taxes. You know, we just got the bills yesterday, I think, for the property tax for the school and all this. And I know, who likes to pay taxes? No, I don't see any. Oh, hey, he's got one. Okay, good for you, Adam. Anyway, generally speaking, we don't really enjoy that. And yet it's something that we are obligated to do and that we should do. So he says, "For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." Okay, so all this following the law of the land and seeking to be submissive to the land, to the law rather. Remember Jesus said, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things of God." Now, there is one exception, right? There's an exception to this, to being submissive to the government. A believer is never to disobey his conscience or the clear will of God. In this case, he must refuse to obey the authorities because God must come first. Look with me, in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, we see the early apostles, disciples, in Acts chapter 5, and down to verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him has God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." So they're saying here, we want to be submissive to the government and all this, but when they forbid you to do what God has told you to do, then you cannot be submissive to them. If there's a conflict, we have to obey God rather than men, as he says here. That's important to keep in mind. This would take care of the problem when there's a dictator or someone who is abusing his power and doing that and going against the will of God. Then believers have the right to stand up against him and to do the right thing. You know, when God says one thing and the world says another, then we have to follow what God has told us to do. So that's regarding the law of the land. That's the exception. These men were forbidden to preach in the name of Jesus when Jesus had told them, go proclaim the word of God. And here we have the same obligation today to be witnesses for Christ. And if they will not allow you to do that, then you are not allowed to obey them. All right. The second law is regarding the law of love. You know, love is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Love makes the world go round, it says, right? Love is a many-splendored thing, right? We have all kinds of things about love. But what's he talking about here? He's talking about love for one another. He says in verse 8, "Owe no man anything but to love one another." Now, we live in a society when everybody owes everybody else, don't you? You have to owe for one thing or another. And I think we have to allow for that. I think the idea would be to not, how can I put that? Pay your bills, you know, keep them up to date. Don't owe somebody. Don't try to cheat someone out of something else. He says, don't owe anyone else anything but love. Love one another. That's the one debt that we can have throughout life. Love each other. And don't allow anything to turn you aside from that. Our actions toward other fellow citizens are to be governed by this principle of love. It doesn't mean we can't have credit, but it does mean that we are to love each other. Don't try to cheat somebody, because that's a sign that you don't love them, right? And all of these other, the commandments he mentions here in these next verses, adultery, murder, robbery, false witnesses, coveting, and he says if there's anything else, it's covered by this law of love, you know. If you love somebody, you're not going to treat them in this way. You're not going to murder them, certainly. You're not going to commit adultery with them. You're not going to do all these other things that are contrary to God's will. Love one another. And that's the law that he has for us. Now, I know there's a time when you have to stand up to people When they're doing something that's wrong, you have to stand up, but do it in love. In fact, it says in one verse, speak the truth in love. You see? And sometimes when you have to say something that may seem to be harsh, or as they call it sometimes, hate speech, right? It's not hate speech, it's love speech. When you say that Jesus Christ is the way to heaven, right? He's the only one that can save you from your sins. Come to Him, put your faith in Him. He's the Savior, and there's no other way. Now, is that hateful? Not really, right? That's what the Bible tells us. Jesus came to save us from our sins. And there is no other way of salvation other than through Him. And we can tell people that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the love that we have to express to others and tell them, yes, this is the way. And all of these commandments are fulfilled by the love that we have for them. It says in verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. How about that? If you love somebody, you're going to treat them right. You're going to do the right thing. And so that's the law of love. It's the essence of keeping the law. Should be our attitude in all of our dealings with other people is that matter of loving our neighbor as ourselves. All right, the third thing is regarding the law of light, verse 11. It says, and that knowing the time in which we live, it's high time to awake out of sleep. It's time to wake up. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The Lord is coming. We have to be ready, and we don't know how much more time we have. He says, wake up. And the night is far spent. It's getting close to midnight, I guess. You know, 11 o'clock. Coming right on. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. That's darkness always speaks of sinful living, right? Darkness. There's no darkness at all in God. God is light. And let us put on the armor of light. You remember Paul tells us in another place, put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, right? The armor of light that casts away the darkness. You know, if you walk in a room and it's dark, you flip on the light and there you can see everything, right? That's what he's saying. Put on the armor of light. Allow God to illuminate your life and do what he has called you to do. It says in verse 13. Get my tongue twisted. Verse 13. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness. Okay? That usually goes on at night, doesn't it? You know, not in chambering and wantonness. Chambering is going from one bedroom to another, right? Which is characteristic of so many people's lives. He says, that's not the way to live. That's darkness. You are to be walking in the light. With the armor of God. Don't allow anything to turn you aside. He says, and then in the last verse says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Just like Christ is our protector. He's our helper. He's the one who is with us to keep us from sin. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof, those desires that are not in keeping with God's word. the lust, desires of the flesh. We should walk in newness of life in Christ and allow Him to lead us in the way we ought to go. So, if we're to be good citizens, obeying the law of the land, following after the law of love in regard to others, urgently seeking to walk according to the law of light, living a life that is well-pleasing to the Lord, that we might be a good testimony to others who need to know Christ as their Savior, that we might be able to be good witnesses for Him in this world in which we live today. Our Father, we thank You this morning for Your word to our hearts and pray that You'll help us that we might live as good citizens of this country and also in Your sight, that we might put on the Lord Jesus and allow Him to guide us and lead us in the way we ought to go and be faithful to You. Bless Your word to our hearts today and guide and help us in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.